Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. This is our super special Harshman Travel Radio Show where we have Pam Harshman and Ron Harshman, and they own Harshman Travel. If you go to harshmantravel.com, you'll be able to see their really great website, take a look at the photo galleries, and sign up for the newsletter. One of the things that I sometimes mention a little bit later on in the radio show is a lot of people sometimes don't realize that if you use a qualified travel agent, they think that you have to pay more money. Now, that would make sense logically. If you're using a qualified plumber, you have to pay more money. If you use a qualified doctor, you have to pay more money. If you use a qualified accountant, you figure you have to pay more money. The exception to the rule is when you use a qualified travel agent like Harshman Travel, the travel other side of the equation pays the commissions. So you don't. So you get experience, you get great deals, you get superior service, all that caring stuff when you're working with Harshman Travel. So go to harshmantravel.com. We've been doing this radio show for a super long time, and in 2020 it was a little weird, or a lot weird, because of the COVID thing. 2021 started off kind of weird, but it looks like it might be brightening up a little bit in certain areas. And I'm super excited to be able to talk to Pam and Ron Harshman as we go through the introductions first. Then we'll do a commercial. Then we'll come back, and Ron usually gives us updates on whatever's happening in the new world of travel with any regulations or updates and stuff like that, with deadlines and restrictions or regulations. And I can't wait to hear all of the parts we're going to hear about on Building Fortunes Radio. But we're going to start off with Pam Harshman. Thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thanks for having us again, Peter. And that
You're
was
welcome.
An understatement, the new travel industry.
Yeah.
Anyway, a little bit about my background. I started my working years as a night dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest and quickly moved my way up into court administration and did that for several years. Once Ron and I met, I moved from the Northwest down to sunny Florida, and I was looking for something that I could kind of do from home, work on my own, and I ended up getting my realtor's license followed by my broker's license and sold real estate for several years, but I kind of got burned out on that. That just wasn't my niche, so I got my life and health insurance license and sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. Absolutely loved it. Loved visiting with the seniors and knowing that I could, you know, give them honest answers and be of some help to them. And I really did like that one. However, at the same time, I kept getting all these things coming across my Facebook news feed about home-based business, MLMs, and stuff like that. And that's where we met. I was a customer of yours, and I learned so much doing and working that area business. Had some winners, had some losers, but made a really good friend in you, so it was all worth it. But one day when I was out doing my travels, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who had, just in talking, asked if Ron and I had ever thought about becoming travel agents. Well, it kind of was coincidental because it hadn't been too much prior to that that we were talking and saying that if we wanted to travel, now would be a good time. We were empty nester baby boomers, and our health was still good. So if we wanted to, let's figure out where we want to go. So when she mentioned about becoming travel agents, the more I got to thinking about it, the more I couldn't wait to get home and sit down with Ron and tell him all about it. And when I did, we started doing our research and kind of due diligence on things. And long story short, we got all the education and training and licensure that we could get our hands on. And the rest is history. We formed Harshman Travel, and we've done a whole lot more traveling than we probably would have done otherwise. But we've also helped an awful lot of people to stretch their travel dollars and get the most out of their vacations, too. So it's been really a win-win for us.
Excellent. Okay, perfect. And then, Ron, over to you.
All righty. Good to be here, Peter. Good Friday and Easter Sunday coming up. My background's very different than Pam's. I spent many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, very involved, obviously, in my own clinical practice, but also decided to get heavily involved in the self-regulatory aspect of the profession, and was sitting on the board of directors of the Canadian Psychological Association. I'm a lifetime elected fellow of that association, was also chair of the applied division and sat on several ethics boards and professional affairs committees, so really had a firsthand knowledge of the good, the bad, and the ugly and of some of the people in practice and some of the activities that were good and some of the activities that were not good and unfortunately ended up being in a position to quash some people's licenses and that kind of thing. But it really helped open my eyes to that whole aspect of any profession. And obviously when Pam and I started talking about the possibility of becoming travel agents, that was the main thing as well, because I knew that during pretty much my entire clinical career, I spent a lot of time working with people, turning on lights, holding up mirrors, helping families decide what to do, when to do, what they could do, what they couldn't do, etc. But it was always matters of social distress, you know, whether it was a couple going through divorce, fighting over custody of children, whether it was kids getting into trouble and being sent off to reform school or to jail or prison. Couples, you know, dealing with substance abuse, you know, family abuse, etc., and looking at the possibility of becoming travel agents, I really felt that I could do the same kind of thing, but I'd be working with families and couples during positive situations in their lives, whether it was planning their wedding or planning an anniversary or planning a retirement or a 65th birthday party or a multi-generational family getaway or whatever. So when Pam came home and started talking about the possibility of getting into the travel industry, it was something that really caught both of us, and partly because of my background working with the psychological associations, it was really important to me to look and see what were the regulatory requirements in terms of being licensed and doing all that kind of thing, and not only getting the proper documentation to properly qualify as legitimate travel agents, but also recognizing that there were many vendors that you felt comfortable promoting and representing, and there were also those vendors that for one reason or another you kind of wanted to keep your distance from and not necessarily be promoting them or recommending them or in any way working with them. So that took a lot of time and energy and training, but we did it, and we felt very comfortable and do feel very comfortable with the tremendous relationships that we formed with many of the cruise line executives, many of the, you know, all-inclusive resort programs and institutions. And we've really done a lot more traveling than we would have been able to. And as Pam said, we've certainly helped a lot of people make the most out of their travel time and their travel money. So it's really worked out very, very well, And you know, for us, it's just been a good move. You know, we're semi-retired from the other things that we were doing, and it's been a very good occupation to be involved in. So we're doing well, and we've got a lot to talk about in terms of what's happening in the travel industry, because obviously with COVID, there's been a lot of, let's say, legitimate changes, and unfortunately, as time goes on, we're seeing that there have been a lot of political bullshit kinds of things going on. So we've got a lot to talk about.
Excellent. Great information. We're going to come right back after this little commercial break, and Ron's going to give us an update.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we are back, and we're going to be talking about whatever's new or what's happening in the travel world. So, Ron, over to you.
Thanks, Peter. You know, this is an interesting kind of road that we've been on, because, as I said before the break, we've certainly seen a number of changes and restrictions that were legitimately placed because of COVID and what was unknown about the disease and what was unknown about the transmission and the safety of different places, different types of activities, whether it be airplanes or cruise ships or hotels or even bars, restaurants, salons, etc. So what we saw happen was in many ways a total shutdown in the travel industry, particularly with the cruise industry, and to a lesser extent, but still a pretty major extent, resorts, all-inclusive resorts, hotels, the air industry, et cetera, airplanes, and that kind of thing. So what has become clear, though, over time going on is that there has been much too much political infusion into the entire, what can I say, the entire way in which not only the United States but the world has handled COVID. There has been many, many decisions made where on, you know, retrospect, you can see that there was absolutely no legitimacy, no proper scientific reasons for some of the decisions being made. It was simply a matter for people in positions of authority to really take advantage and maximize the scare tactic. A number of physicians, in fact, one of the main physicians on TV who has some credibility, actually wrote a book about COVID saying that it was much more scare tactic than science. And unfortunately, what he said has proven to be true. And more so than anywhere else, we've seen that with the CDC's involvement with the cruise industry, and I want to spend a bit more time on that tonight than other areas, but just to kind of broaden the perspective and let people know what's happening worldwide. Iceland is now open. They've opened their country to American travelers without the need for quarantine or taking tests. The only magical key to travel in Iceland is vaccination. So if you can prove that you've been vaccinated, you can visit and see all the bubbling geysers and the thundering waterfalls and all the pools and all the good stuff that Iceland has to offer. And at this point, you know, I think there are going to be some countries that get away with, and some cruise lines and other travel vendors that get away with saying that as long as you're vaccinated, you can come. If you're not vaccinated, you can't come. I do not expect that to remain in place as the rule, because I think too many people who choose not to be vaccinated, and not because of fear of this vaccine or because they want to be anti one party or the other party politically, but there are people who simply don't believe that it makes sense to get inoculated with any kind of disease in order to increase your likelihood of not getting it, or if you do get it, increase your likelihood of recovery from it, when the recovery rate for most adults and children right now without vaccination is in the high 90%. And as a result of that, I foresee that there are going to be many, many regular clients and customers of cruise lines and hotels and airlines, etc., who are going to say, if you are going to require me to have a vaccine, I will require you to find a different income source because I'm not going to use your service. And I think that what we will see much more reasonably and much more equitably as we go forward, I do foresee that this is the standard for a while. They can get away with it for a while. But I definitely believe that in pretty short order, we're going to see that restriction reduced to either vaccination or a negative COVID test, because obviously the travel vendors or the locations, whether it be Iceland or, you know, Disney World or any of these things, whatever it is, they do have a right and a responsibility to try to ensure that they're doing everything they can to keep the safety of their clientele at a, you know, premier spot. But there's going to be no scientific evidence that having a vaccination is clearer proof that you are not a carrier or don't have COVID than a negative COVID test. So I think that we're going to see that move. I don't know when, but I don't believe it's going to be very far off in the future. So right now, that's what it is. I think we have to accept it. And like I said, Iceland is now open. There are other countries that are moving in that direction. And I think we will see that that happening more so as time goes on. When we look at the airline industry, right now the air carriers are certainly giving the message that domestic leisure demand has almost entirely recovered, and it just speaks to the pent-up desire to travel. You know, when you have a society that is used to sort of, I do what I want, when I want, when I can afford to do what I want, and you tell them you can't do anything, it's very predictable that you're going to start seeing some people say, I damn well want to do what I want to do, and I want to do it as soon as I can do it. And that's certainly being proven in all aspects of the travel industry, but not most notably, but certainly very notably, something just came out this week from the major carriers in the aviation area, United Airlines, Virgin America, Alaska Air, a number of these airlines, Delta, are all saying that their observations are pretty much up to or exceeding what they were pre-COVID. And we're starting to see a lot more travel. At this point, I think it's much more domestic than international, and that's probably, in at least part, because of some of the international restrictions. You know, within the United States, there are very minimal, if any, restrictions that say you can't fly from this state to that state, but there certainly are restrictions saying that you cannot enter certain countries without this or without that, again, mainly vaccine. So I think we will see the air industry come back, and I was pleased to get the reports this week that the airlines are saying that right now, typically about 30% of their business are people traveling for business, not vacation. About 70% are vacation, and that is on the increase and at pre-COVID levels. So that was good to see. When we turn to the cruise industry, which is obviously Pam and my favorite and most committed, a number of things are going on that we should talk about, and different strokes for different folks. Coming out of Florida, we had two very differently worded reports about what's going on with the cruise industry and the CDC restrictions, both saying that they wanted the CDC to reduce the restrictions, but two very different tones. The governor of Florida came out and said that Florida was getting ready to sue the CDC if they don't soon allow the cruise industry to restart. Obviously, Florida is the state that is most affected because you've got the Port of Miami and you've got Fort Lauderdale, Port Everglades, as the you know, two most popular ports of embarkation and disembarkation, and with them being pretty much out of business, especially since there's been, before COVID, some major expense incurred by the cruise lines and the actual port authorities in rebuilding, refurbishing, expanding some of the terminals, because of the differences in ships being built with the LPG and the size. They've had to redo a number of the terminals in both Miami and Fort Lauderdale. So, as I started to say, Florida governor came out saying, if you don't smarten up, we're going to sue you because it's clear that you are not following strict scientific reasons for your rules. You keep changing your rules, and it is becoming more and more evident that this is political in an attempt to damage the cruise industry. At the same time that Ron DeSantis came out with that announcement, the Miami-Dade mayor came out with an announcement that they have been speaking with the CDC, and that the CDC has agreed that they will very soon be issuing new set of guidelines for safe restart of sailing in the United States. And supposedly, the no-sail order has been obviously very destructive. But according to the Miami-Dade mayor's office, they're saying that they were able to convince the CDC that that's the case. I mean, it doesn't take much to convince them of that. But that they are now looking at new guidelines for a restart to cruising, taking into consideration all the advancements made possible by the vaccine, but also looking at what's going on with the cruise lines and the amount of money that they have been spending in terms of refurbishing, in terms of bringing on specialty members of their management staff, and just making programmatic changes and decisions about percentage of occupancy and the ability to socially distance. And as we've talked before, the whole muster drill being set down as a now program that you watch on television before the ship departs, rather than crowding all these people into three or four areas on the ship for half an hour to stand there and listen to a pre-recorded message about what was going on with safety and with safety belts and all those kinds of things. So one way or the other, we are expecting to see some changes there. Same time, as those things are going on with different areas of the United States discussing and arguing and hopefully having some impact on the CDC, we've seen all of the cruise lines moving in the direction of returning operations, and they are mostly returning operations this month that we just got into, the month of April, and phased-in approach globally throughout both this month and next month. The interesting thing to note about that is that the majority of those announced sailings are not in the United States. They are in Spain. They are in Gibraltar. They are in Italy. They are in Jerusalem. They are all over the world except here in the USA. And I think that that's where people are really coming down heavy on the CDC and recognizing, whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, this has become just one more political issue, and that's really unfortunate because it affects so many people, so many livelihoods. I can't make it any bigger than it is. It's just ridiculous to see how much is affected by what is turning out to be a ridiculously idiotic group of government officials who, have really developed a God complex. And hopefully we're going to see some change in that. But what the majority of cruise lines have done is said, fine, we'll go elsewhere. And that is definitely happening. And I think that alone will force the CDC to wake up and start becoming somewhat reasonable. So we're seeing that. We're seeing close by some of the ships that were embarking and disembarking in Miami and Fort Lauderdale are now going to be embarking and disembarking from Nassau and somewhere, other places in the Bahamas, doing the same itinerary that they were doing before, except Floridians will have to fly or swim to the Bahamas to get on the boat instead of going to Miami or Fort Lauderdale. So hopefully that will change. Long term, Peter, my concern is I don't know how long the present scare tactic mentality is going to survive. We've talked before about the fact that Pam and I had to cancel a large group sailing that we had scheduled for the end of May, going to Alaska, land and sea excursion with Holland America. And we canceled that and rescheduled for the end of August of 2022. And now it's a matter of, it's being up in the air, whether by then one would think that sanity will return and we will be back to normal. But being more realistic, I cannot guarantee that by a year from August, sanity will have returned and that there will not be the same restrictions for vaccines or for masks and all that kind of stuff. And if that's the case, we will be canceling that cruise as well. So, it really is unfortunate to see what's happening. At the same time, there is some light at the end of the tunnel. And as I've said before, so far we have not been able to determine that it's a train coming towards us. So we're okay on that side. The last thing I want to say, I know I'm running over time as usual.
You're okay. It's okay.
My introduction short. You have to give me kudos.
You did a good job.
I had about four-fifths of it, so I ended up well before I normally do, but I'm still over time. But the one thing that I did want to also alert people to is that as a result of all this craziness, as a result of cruising moving more towards Europe than expanding necessarily here right now, the other thing that we're seeing is we're seeing an expansion of river cruising both here in the States and over in Europe. The CDC is operating differently with inland river cruising, obviously much smaller ships, seeing the ports for a different way and operation and just utilization of the ports. But there's a greater demand for river cruising right now, and that is probably the biggest expansion that we're seeing in the cruising industry. There are smaller ships. The fact that the itineraries are set up so that you really get an implosion of the different places that you are visiting, the different people, the different histories, the different languages, the different culinary experiences, educational experiences, just the history of the different places. You're seeing a lot of greater interest from people who have usually been ocean cruisers, are now looking to river cruising because of the size, but also because of the total difference in the actual experience. When you are on a river cruise, you're basically in a different place every day. You are seeing different populations, different customs, etc., and you're really getting a much clearer understanding of where you're visiting and what you're visiting than when you're on an ocean cruise, and you may be in a different place today than you were yesterday, but the different place is you're out in the ocean and there's nothing around except water, and you're traveling from one place to another place, possibly even one country to another country. But certainly the time spent in ports, the ability to really see the people and experience the whole culture, is a totally different set of facts when you're doing ocean as compared to river. So I think we're going to see a lot more river cruising. We're seeing an expansion here in the United States, and we are definitely seeing an expansion in Europe. talking with AMA Waterways, which is the top river cruise organization in Europe. They have, we talked a couple of times ago about this long expansion trip that they've got organized, which is over 40 nights, but they are also seeing heavy, heavy bookings into 2023. And that is just unheard of in times before. And not only are they getting inquiries, they are already having specific itineraries and sailings that are sold out for the end of 21, all of 22, and into 23. So people are wanting to get back to travel. We're seeing that in the air industry. I'm getting a lot of information from a number of the all-inclusive resorts, particularly in Mexico, Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, that are open and encouraging people to come, and they are seeing a burst of business as well. So there's no question that there will be recovery. At this point, the question is going to be, you know, how much recovery is necessary and how long is it going to take them to recover. But no question about the fact that they will recover and that they will make cruising and being on a cruise ship the safest place that you can possibly vacation. So we're over. I'd like to wish everybody a very happy Easter weekend, a very blessed weekend, and very meaningful weekend. And that's it.
Excellent. Well, we're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. This is the Harshman Travel Agency segment. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Harshman or Harshman Travel, you'll be able to hear these radio shows again. If you go directly to harshmantravel.com, sign up for the newsletter and check them out. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.